ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Corbin Middlemass here. The Ashes were awesome, but they are over. The good news is the cricket keeps rolling as the focus shifts to the T20 World Cup. Australia is trying to climb back to the top, India is looking all powerful, and England is trying to turn Ashes shame into T20 glory. And did we mention the backroom power struggles? The ABC Cricket Podcast is dropping every Monday and Friday as former opener Ed Cowan joins me to pull apart the juiciest storylines in the game. Search for ABC Cricket Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Six years ago, ASIO was concerned. The spy agency had the Bondi shooter, Naveed Akram, under investigation. So why did it determine back then he didn't pose a serious threat? And was that an intelligence failure? The spy boss, Mike Burgess, says it wasn't. Today, Sean Rubenstein Dunlop on his Four Corners investigation into what was known about Naveed Akram and his father, Sajid, before they killed 15 people at Bondi Beach. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Sean, your Four Corners story this week, it really didn't please ASIO and its boss, Mike Burgess. Now, he actually appeared before a Senate estimates hearing on Tuesday night. He rejects any notion that there was an intelligence failure before the Bondi attack, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah, they came out swinging even ahead of our program more than 24 hours in advance. But at the Senate estimates hearing, he insisted that intelligence hadn't been ignored and that while ASIO hadn't known that the attack was in the planning, that that didn't mean that his officers made mistakes.
I can say that we stand by our 2019 assessment. The Akrams did not adhere to or intend to engage in violent extremism at that time. In other words, many of the claims and criticisms being made about ASIO's handling of the case are baseless.
Now, why don't we, Sean, step through what we know ASIO knew about the alleged Bondi terrorists, Naveed Akram and his father, Sajid, before the devastating attack. Back in October 2019... ASIO had launched an investigation into Naveed, hadn't they? What was going on then?
That's right. It was more than 6 years before the Bondi attack, and Naveed Akram had just turned 18 years old. ASIO had established that he had been associating with members of an Islamic State terrorism cell in Sydney, including a young man named Isaac El Matari. He was the self-declared Australian commander of ISIS. He had been trying to recruit for attacks and plotting to import firearms into Australia. Authorities had been monitoring El Matari and becoming increasingly alarmed as they secretly recorded him plotting to build a network of fighters, including sleeper agents in Sydney. He said, now this was more than 6 years before the attack, that that might take half a decade to develop. And he wanted attacks on places of political significance in Sydney, public places with little protection.
Yeah, okay. So Naveed is linked to Isaac El Matari. And Sean, he was actually arrested in that same year, in 2019.
Yeah, that's right. Naveed became introduced to Isaac El Matari earlier that year. He had joined a street preaching group, Naveed that is, had joined a street preaching group called Bankstown Street Dawah. Naveed Akram was interacting there with a number of extremists and ISIS members who were very much on ASIO's radar.
Okay, and then crucially, in October 2019, Sean, ASIO begins investigating Naveed Akram.
That's right. The agency was assessing whether Naveed Akram posed a terrorism threat, whether he intended to engage in extremist violence, and whether he was a supporter of ISIS. ASIO officers interviewed Naveed Akram and his father, Sajid, but at the time cooperated with the investigation, we're told.
All right, well, Sean, let's have a look at what else you've uncovered in your investigation. As you were trying to piece all of this together, you were speaking to a source named Marcus. Now, just tell me who he is.
He's a former human source for ASIO, known as an agent. Codename is Marcus, as you said. And he was never an official employee of ASIO, but he was recruited from the Middle East, and the agency funded his life as he infiltrated Sydney's ISIS network for 6 years between 2017 and 2023. He posed as a radical imam. He posed as a mentor and teacher to a group of young men who were part of that terror cell that included Isaac El-Matari. El-Matari was one of Marcus's targets.
And Marcus did have contact with Naveed Akram, and he was concerned.
That's right. He met Naveed Akram when Naveed was 17 years old.
He was very normal, and he was very young at that time, with not much knowledge about Islam. He was learning from people around him.
And he said he became increasingly concerned as Naveed started associating with ISIS members and supporters.
First time I raised a concern about Naveed was during Ramadan 2019, as he was associated with ISIS supporters.
He also claimed that Isaac El-Matari shared with Naveed his plans for attacks in Australia, plans that were in some ways awfully reminiscent of what happened in Bondi. So Marcus told us that he shared his concerns with ASIO. ASIO asked him to keep a close eye on Naveed by his account. And it was a few months later that they officially launched their six-month investigation into Naveed.
And Marcus also met Sajid, the father. So what did he establish through those meetings?
Well, he said that after ASIO launched its investigation in 2019, Sajid was furious. And Marcus claims that he too was an extremist. He, by Marcus's account, expressed support for ISIS, even expressed support for Isaac El-Matari and his terrorism plans, and said, if we can't do something here, we should join ISIS abroad, according to Marcus. At that point, who was more radical?
After this conversation, I thought Sajid was more extremist than his son.
Okay, and ASIO, as you mentioned, did investigate Naveed for 6 months. So what do we know it found at the end of that investigation?
They told us they found Naveed Akram did not intend to engage in violent extremism. Now, that's something Marcus says he agreed with at that point in time. He said he didn't see any threat of real violence or attack plans. But crucially, ASIO also assessed that Naveed didn't adhere to violent extremist ideologies. That is, that he didn't support ISIS at the time. And in the wake of the Bondi attack, the Prime Minister also said ASIO found there was no evidence that Naveed or Sajid were radicalised at that time. Interesting use of word. Evidence is different to intelligence. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, ASIO says it stands by its assessment at that point in time. Mm. That's the point where Marcus disagrees with ASIO.
I'm sure that they showed real signs of their radicalisation and of their supporting of ISIS.
So have Australians been told the real story about what happened?
What they said doesn't match what I knew about the situation.
And it's worth noting, Sean, that 2 months after this ASIO investigation into Navid ends, his father then starts applying for a firearms license.
Yeah, they conclude their investigation in around April 2020, and just 2 months later, in June 2020, Sajid Akram applies to New South Wales Police for his firearms license. It took 3 years for him to be issued with that gun license, and we don't know why it took so long. At that same time, New South Wales Police were banning associates of the El Matari cell from obtaining guns. But despite that, Sajid Akram was allowed to apply and ultimately received his gun license, even though he lived in the same house as his son Navid, who had associated with several members of this cell.
All right. Now, ASIO, it does argue, Sean, that Marcus is not a credible source.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't be interviewed. We sent them several detailed lists of questions. They sent us a statement saying that they had investigated Marcus's claims, but they couldn't substantiate them. They found them to be unsubstantiated, they said. And ASIO said that Marcus had misidentified Navid Akram, that he had mixed him up with someone else, that he'd said that Navid said and did things that were actually said and done by an entirely different person. Now, we asked for clarification. We asked questions about when and how this apparent misidentification took place and what associated claims were therefore untrue, but they declined to respond to further questions.
All right, well, at that Senate estimates hearing we spoke about earlier, Mike Burgess, the spy boss, he said that there is a review into ASIO's handling of Navid Akram. So that is being investigated now.
Yes, Mike Burgess made some really interesting revelations during that estimates hearing. One, as you said, he revealed that immediately after the December 14 attack, he commissioned a review of ASIO's handling of the Akrams, and he says ASIO stands by its assessment at the time about the Akrams.
Tragically, though, we did not know what the perpetrators of the Bondi attack were planning, or indeed that they were planning anything. This is a matter of grave regret for me and my officers. It weighs heavily on us. But that does not mean intelligence was ignored or my officers made mistakes.
He also revealed, this is really interesting, I think, that the Akrams demonstrated a high level of security awareness to hide their plot.
In simple terms, they went dark to stay off the radar.
He said, "We can't stop every terrorist."
All right. Well, Marcus, he says he's willing to give evidence at the Royal Commission into the Bondi attack. Really, Sean, he's worried, isn't he, that ASIO took its eye off the ball when it comes to Islamic extremism. And I guess a question that you pose in your Four Corners program is whether or not this attack could have been stopped.
Yeah, so Marcus, in fact, first came to us quite some time ago, warning 8 months before the Bondi attack that Australia was dangerously exposed to Islamic State terrorism, to the network he had infiltrated. The question around whether this attack could have been prevented. Well, there were a series of apparent intelligence and information sharing failures in the lead up. After ASIO's assessment of Navid Akram, he was put on a watch list, so to speak, through the Joint Counterterrorism Team by the New South Wales Police. But by the time of the Bondi attack, he was no longer on that list. His father, as I said, was able to legally acquire guns, and they were able to travel to the Philippines, to a former Islamic State hotspot, without triggering an alert. Now, the Royal Commission will clearly also consider whether the ASIO assessment in 2019-20 of Naveed Akram falls into that list of intelligence failures. These are all issues that the Royal Commission will investigate this year.
Sean Rubenstein Dunlop is a reporter with Four Corners. You can catch his report on iView. This episode was produced by Sydney Pede. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.